Okay, but we have to say one statement and we get one shot.
You get three shots. Different inflections.
It would have been nice if Eminem knew that. He probably wouldn't have been so aggressive.
Well, he had all that spaghetti on his shirt.
You get more than two shots.
You get three moms to decide whose dinner you're going to eat.
Each one of them's making a special meal for the birthday boy.
Three careers to choose from after you eat their dinner.
Unlimited attempts at a career.
It's called the Eminemiverse. There's an infinite number of scenarios I could find myself in.
There's 8 miles of them. Welcome back to the Isaac Abrams Show, everybody. I'm your host, Isaac Abrams. Today's co-host, not guest, but special, very special co-host, guesty type folks, Alex Sivers and Nick Pyatt. A little background on both of them.
Provided by me?
Provided by anybody.
Please provide background on both of us. Yeah.
I'm just a guy. I've known Isaac for 18 years, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. 18 years. That's crazy.
You were 20 when we moved here.
Yep. Yeah, that was 17 years ago. And I'd known you for about 9 minutes before we decided to move to a whole other state together.
We met in a truck stop bathroom.
And we don't need to go to the origin story.
Yeah. He's still wearing the same hat.
You gave this hat to me.
I did, right? I was like, hey man, you want a hat for that?
And I said no, and you still put it on me.
So please take my hat. And then of course we got Nick Pyatt.
Yep, that's correct.
That's right. Hello, Nick.
Yep. So I don't know. I've known you for I've met you 21 years ago, but you didn't know. You forgot about that.
I didn't give a f about anybody but myself back then.
And then we met again in 2017. You still didn't give a f until about 2018.
Correct.
When we became friends.
No new friends has been my life policy.
And yeah. Now, yeah, we became friends and around then. And now I'm here helping you make podcasts.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Podding. Nick has a future music show coming out.
Share future music with us. I'm not familiar with the genre.
Oh, okay. So future music would be defined as Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, anybody who's at Woodstock 99, basically.
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's about time for their time.
Yeah.
To shine.
They're coming up.
It's time for men to take control of this planet.
That would be something the guy with Bud Light in his head would say.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bud Light. We're trying to get back on track. Drink Bud Light.
Well, okay, so in the spirit of debate, let's start there.
Okay.
So real quick, the most recent news about Bud Light is that they just signed Messi, Leo Messi.
The soccer player?
Yeah. Like the most, probably the most popular person on earth.
I'll give you that.
As an endorsee. So as of like 48 hours ago, he announced he was a Bud Light guy.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, just to come right out of the gate, I think the real problem is, you know, you can take, as a brand, you decide to jump into arenas that your product doesn't naturally maybe fall in. I mean, you engage with influencers of all types, right? And you know, you shoot your shot, but you gotta stand behind it at least while your shot is still in the air.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Absolutely, yes.
See? And I think that's the big thing here. Like, you can love or hate what they did. Sure. It's like you're right as a consumer and as a human being. But I think the really sad thing about it is that they were like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. And then they, you know, started walking things back or tried to do things that were like counter to that.
They doubled down. They went all American with it and they started doing, like,
well, that's what I'm saying. They tried to counter
4x4 commercials and American flags.
And it's like, it just shows how it was just the most obvious lifting of the veil of like, we don't give a fuck about you. We don't give a fuck about that community. We acted like we gave a fuck about. All we care about is money. And as soon as the money stopped flowing, we were like, how the fuck do we turn the tap back on? And it was by any means necessary. It had nothing to do with a movement or a message or a community they really gave a f- about. They just, it's like, don't shoot your shot then. No one was asking you to dive in and support their community, but you did it. So stay there, you know, like have a backbone.
They didn't mean it. The first, it's just obvious they didn't mean it.
Right.
They definitely didn't mean it, and it's just one inclusive person in the marketing department that was probably not very high that was like, oh, let's try and reach out to this community.
Are you suggesting they should have gotten high first?
Yeah, Bud Light should have weed in it.
That's actually probably not a bad idea. I heard they invested in marijuana. Yeah. I heard that like Anheuser-Busch made a big investment.
It's just like Marlboro bought up a ton of like they licensed out the green pack.
And the vapings. The vapings were really Philip Morris got deep into the vapes.
Yeah, I think that's who owns all these little vape companies anyway.
Probably.
It's a conspiracy. We're agreeing more than we should.
That's true. I mean, well, you know, it was the first debate. Sometimes people just show up to the podium. They're like, no, he's right.
Okay, how about this? Let's challenge each other a little bit. If you're at a bar and someone's drinking a Bud Light, are you going to say some stupid ass comment?
Nope. Doesn't even occur to me.
Because I have been at beach parties this summer and I've had a Bud Light and people are like, It's the one opportunity for unfunny people to make a stupid joke.
That's, I mean, there's no shortage of opportunities for unfunny people to decide they're funny all of a sudden. I had a similar thing. I was playing a show. I play in a, you know, 90s rock cover band, as you know. And it was like some party that we were playing. There's probably like 300 or 400 people there. And my buddy's dad was there. And I was like, hey, can I grab you a beer in between sets? And he was like, yeah, Bud Light. And I was like, cool. And I just got two of them because I was like, I don't want to order two different kinds of beer. And I walked back and like walked on stage with the beer. And then someone was like, huh, Bud Light, huh? And I was like, yep, drinking beer.
And know? That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I mean, look, it's a reminder to people, to brands, that people are not the thing they drink. They are not the thing that they buy. Like people always say, like, vote with your dollars. And like, sure, if you want to, but also just buy shit that you just like the color of that day. Like, you know what I mean? Like it can be for no fucking other reason.
Where are you at on it, Nick?
Yeah. I don't know. I obviously it's just bullshit that they went there and then backtracked because they didn't mean it. It was totally just, it was bullshit that they even attempted it.
What is it that they didn't mean when you say they didn't mean it? You mean
they didn't mean any sort of support of the trans community to begin with. So they put a trans person on a Bud Light. They basically found out after the fact, like some of the executives went, okay, cool, LGBT. Like they probably went, yeah, it's June, sure. Mm-hmm. Right. And then no one paid attention to the fact that it was a trans influencer that was going to get attention. And when it got attention, it got attention in the wrong way because everyone started calling Bud Light like trans positive or whatever it was.
No, use the slurs.
Kid Rock.
What exactly were they saying, Nick?
I don't know. But actually, I can tell you this.
Oh boy, here we go.
Messi signed, you know, with Bud Light the other day. And to your point about there being no shortage of idiots making jokes, the comments were full of, whoa, Messi's gay now?
Like, yeah. Cannot like, wait to clip it's like, that.
That's.
I mean, he did a pretty good job acting out as if it was a thought he was just having in that moment.
Now I need you to say the hard F real quick, just so I can button this thing up.
Just to put a button on it. Yeah. Could you just?
Messi's such a forgetful guy.
I'm gonna bleep it, and make it sound like you said.
Yeah, actually, that'll work pretty well. You put it. It was a. F word with a G in it.
I mean, he's already he's getting what like a 1.6 billion or something to play soccer.
I mean, okay, think about that. Think about how much money Bud Light had to have given him. They weren't trying to get Messi beforehand, but they needed the biggest, most godlike warrior on earth to save them right now.
Okay, but
and
here's
they got him.
Would you not say? And this is just out of the top of my ass. Would you not say that most of Messi's fan base are Spanish speakers?
I honestly don't know.
Do you think he's an international celebrity?
Yes.
Like, is he going to move the needle in France and Germany?
Yes.
Are they having a problem with Bud Light sales in foreign markets?
Probably.
Is Messi going to move the needle in America?
We, as a country, are the most trans-inclusive country already.
Right.
For the most part, of the major countries, right?
But soccer is not a big sport here.
No, it's not. But I mean, I think if they can get lift, I think what they're doing is investing in the foreign markets. Well, our domestic market cools down and forgets because they will. They always do.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, just going back to the inciting incident, it's like it is just so pitiful. Like what you said, you're like it just passed them by that it was an influencer that was going to get attention. It was like that's the fucking reason you hunted them out as an influencer is that they were going to get attention. Did you not just understand that it would get attention, both wanted and unwanted, and you accepted that risk. Like, you're a professional. You have marketing in your fucking title. You probably went to a really expensive school and you didn't think what was going to happen and accept that and just stand behind that and say, I get it, good, bad, or otherwise. It's the right thing to do, and we're going to get a new kind of customer that we want to have for the long run, and we're going to live with it. Because I could have told you, I don't have CMO in my all three of those letters in my title, and I didn't go to an expensive school, and I could have told you that you were going to get attention that you probably would love, and also attention you're going to hate and you're going to have to deal with, but maybe it's worth it.
That is correct.
But does it not stem from like an overwoke educational system? Like, here's a couple of things where
hold on a second.
He's arguing now. All right.
No. We're making a couple of assumptions, right? First of all, we're assuming that it's like someone in the junior level marketing team, right? That just fresh out of college. That.
Let's be clear. They fired the person who made the ultimate yes decision there.
Did they really?
Yes. Bud Light fired the person who actually okayed this. God,
that's so sad.
Nick, can you turn yours up by 2 dBs, please?
Yes.
That is so fucking sad. I mean,
now, was it the person that ultimately said yes or the person that's their boss?
Nothing happens without multiple people saying yes. No one signs on. I mean, I know that it's like relatively low stakes. It's not like a Super Bowl commercial for Bud Light where, like, you know, probably 60 people it has to cross their desk. But even something as innocuous as like, hey, we're going to put, you know, I don't know, 2.5 million behind 20 different influencers. And it wasn't that, but let's say it was that.
And it was that.
Yeah, but like more than one person covers that budget. They had to do ad spend of some sort. They had to get time on the social media channel. So whoever manages the channels knows that this is happening, knows exactly what you're posting. Like, it's impossible for them to do something where 20, 40, 100 people don't at least see it. And through that chain of command, there's a handful of stakeholders.
Do we know that it was a national spot? Did they
No.
Was it a regional thing?
It was a social thing, as far as I know. For what I saw, it was just a social thing.
It was branded.
It was a sponsored post.
You could see his face on the can. Excuse me. I'm still learning. That was a mistake.
You should, for your own good, you should edit
you're
that
so,
out.
You're such a forgetful guy.
I'm a very forgetful guy. I'm also 43 years old, and I did not grow up having to change pronouns. So...
Jesus taught you to say whatever you wanted.
I mean, well, just so we take a tangent on that for a moment. You know, the reality, no reasonable person would ever say that you should get that right on the first try.
You have glitter on your mouth.
I think it's suds.
You literally have a glitter.
I think it's sports. There's some sports on my lip. I got some sports on my lip.
Doo-doo-doo.
Oh, it's because the Modelo foil. Anyway. The point I'm trying to make here,
and that's why I stick with Bud Light.
No reasonable person would ever, you know, it's just like if you met me for the first time. This is the best analogy I could give.
What's Nick laughing at?
It would have been way funnier if you had glitter on your lip, and that was an argument Cyrus decided to go with through the Bud Light.
Yeah,
that's my boy.
You got glitter on your lip, boy.
Or we both have glitter on our lips because we had some forgetful engagement right before the camera started to roll. Oh my god, that soundboard needs to fucking die.
Yeah, dude.
Just back to, you know, your glitter on your face. Dead naming of or dead gendering.
Okay. Not all of us have the same level of experience as you do.
Okay, fair enough. But no reasonable person would ever say, you know, it would be like if we just met.
You just moved it into your beard.
Great. And if you introduced me to Nick as Alex and I was like, hey, Nick, I actually like to be called Al. And I just said it with all seriousness. And then if Nick was like, no, your name's fucking Alex, bro. I'd be like, can we not hang out with Nick anymore? You know,
that's a great point.
Okay, but how about this? Counterpoint.
It's just courteous.
Yeah.
Counterpoint. Yeah. What if every once in a while he just slipped and he was like, hey, Al, sorry, man, Alex.
Yeah, I'd be like, totally cool, man.
Right, he's still learning the nomenclature. Yeah. Right? That's what just happened to me.
Yes, exactly.
And every trans person I know is totally okay with a slip and a, oh, hey, sorry.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a friend that is non-binary. And they have no problem if I accidentally slip up and say the wrong thing and then just go, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally cool.
Still learning.
Yeah. And most of the time I just call them dude anyway, just like I would call anybody dude.
You know,
bro. Yeah.
It points to a really interesting thing in our society and culture, which is shame. the thing that you feel when you misgender someone is not foolishness. It's not bigotry. It is shame. That's what you feel. And
oh, I people, disagree.
Oh, no. It is just a fact. I mean, people react very differently to shame. Some people say, fuck you for making me feel shame. And that's when they're like, I actually kind of feel bad for doing that. But I feel so, the idea and the feeling of shame fucks me up so much. I'm going to throw it back on you and say, well, fuck you for making my life hard, for making things complicated for me and making me feel shame. It's the worst emotion, the worst human emotion you can feel.
The best example you see of that exact thing is when you watch a car accident happen. Someone rear ends someone. The person whose fault it is almost always gets out angry and blaming the other person. But it is absolutely their fault.
Absolutely the truth.
And then they double down and make it worse by insulting them or blaming them and trying to argue about it. It's such like I've actually like watched that go down and go, why is that person freaking out? It was their fault.
Because they're ashamed.
Right.
I agree with Nick. I disagree with you. Al
I was agreeing with
Alex.
I was agreeing with Alexander here.
Fine, but I agree with your point. But I don't think that every single person that says someone's name wrong feels shame. Unless we're paralleling shame and embarrassment.
Well, I think they're tied. You know.
When you feel embarrassed, you feel shame?
I mean, you know, I guess we couldn't lay out the billions of times you could feel embarrassed and cross-section those with shame and try to Venn diagram this together to say that they are inextricably tied, but I do think that they are very tied.
Now you just flex some big words. Is shame and embarrassment synonymous? Is it in the fucking dictionary? What's the other word for dictionary when words are the same?
Thesaurus.
Thank you.
You know, I heard a funny joke
Nick's
about
just
that.
Here for the laugh track, dude.
Aliens, do they exist?
Oh, well, who wants to say no? Because I'll disagree with you.
I mean, there's like just strict probability. If you pop the definition of probability up here, aliens exist. I mean,
Tom DeLonge wrote a song about it 20 years ago.
Well, that's all the proof you need.
Yep.
Can you guys ring up Tom DeLonge? He'll know the answer.
I could call. We could call folks on this her phone on the Bluetooth.
Does anyone have Tom DeLonge's number? I mean, if you called Tom DeLonge and said, hey, Tom, I'm sorry to bother you. This will just take a second. Die. Are aliens real? I mean,
he might give you an hour worth of conversation there.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, I believe in aliens enough to not want to talk to Tom DeLonge about it for an hour.
I just put on Adam's song and I stare at the stars. It's,
you know. I mean, listen, if that's the only way that I could get to Tom DeLonge to talk about Blink-182 is through aliens, I would do it.
Sorry. The only way you could talk to Tom DeLonge is through aliens. You know, that's a really interesting idea. Like, Tom DeLonge is pretty accessible. He's probably, like, somewhere in California, like, in the state we live in. But instead of finding him in California, you go out
of the
to the outer reaches, beyond the thermosphere.
And invent
and you
a UAP.
No. You're, like, 25,000 steps in the making. We have to travel, like, 20-something light years to find another planet that is, you know, in the Goldilocks zone. We find those aliens and we say, look, Tom won't answer my calls. Could you hop in the spaceship with me? I think he'll talk to you.
And by the time you return, the Earth is 70,000 years old.
Well,
Tom DeLonge's
and there's just memories. Statues of Tom DeLonge.
And then there's a rebellion to pull them all down for the things that he did during his regime.
He did.
Just during the DeLonge Enlightenment period.
The DeLongination.
The DIP. We call it the Big Dip.
I mean, the idea that you would travel 20,000 light years to get an alien because you so badly want to have a conversation with Tom DeLonge and he won't pick up your calls. This is pretty great.
Oh, no, it's because you can't even find his phone number.
Yeah, and you think somehow some other species, like, just way the fuck off might know. Like, do you have Tom's number?
Meanwhile, we just know where Travis Barker is all the time.
Yeah, I've got an AirTag on him.
He was just down the street right here the other day. Nobody knows this, but he's married to Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh, shit. Hot take.
You know, you want to know honest truth? I didn't know there was a Kourtney Kardashian. I didn't know that was a person.
Did you know that she told him that she was pregnant at the first Blink show the other night in LA?
No, but if you would have told me, he married Carol Ann Kardashian, I would have been like, cool. I've never heard of Kourtney Kardashian in my life. Sorry, Kourtney.
What if we just start creating Kardashians?
Right? Yeah. Crystal Ann Kardashian. She's like from the Southern Kardashians.
Crystal, it would have to start with a K, so Crystal would work.
Wait, yeah. Do they all start with K's or those they start with C's?
Kim, Kourtney, and Chloe, they all start with K's. Chris is the mom. Her name starts with a K.
That's absolute madness.
Half of those people.
Oh, and then Kendall and Kylie. Kendall, Kylie, Kim, Chloe, Kourtney, Chris.
And Carl.
Actually, no. This is awesome.
No, what's the son's name?
Kendall and Kylie have a brother named Bert. Bert Jenner.
Oh, God, like, that's embarrassing.
And he's like a redneck that races cars.
Of course he is.
Serious. Never mind, I love him.
How much do you think your life has been shaped by the name you were given by your parents?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I think it's a little chicken or egg. It's like the name is what you make of it, right? And it's like you put all this weight behind it and you start to think that like Isaac is. But it's like, you know, it's just a fucking name.
Well, you know, how names have meanings, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think to yourself every morning, son of Abraham, son of Abraham.
That's not the meaning.
Son of Abraham.
It's not the
son of Abraham.
The name Isaac means gift of laughter.
He gets up, he comes to work, he looks at his signs that have his names on them and just thinks, yeah. Yes, this guy. This
son
guy.
Of Abraham.
It's not even my real name.
No, Isaac is son of Abraham, is he not? I'm pretty positive, biblically.
Yes.
Isaac is the son of Abraham.
But I got his brother mixed up for a real long time.
Oh, Abel? Now I'm out of my depth.
You can't biblically. Do that. Wow, you got to go deep on your Bible thumper to get that joke. Cain and Abel.
Yeah, okay.
I'm mansplaining to Nick, and he's just like, I sat through church for 25 years.
Yeah.
And now I talk with a lisp in my mouth. Now I whistle like a beaver when I talk.
I used to practice my vocal whistle while I was getting molested.
Well, you don't say. I said, Uncle Tony, stop touching my wiener.
Sissy Spacek has got 65 popsicles.
And multiple sclerosis.
Sissy Spacek has sickle cell anemia.
Oh, here's something, a new joke that I'm working on that I'm never going to take to the stage.
We don't need to do that here.
Yep, they fired, they killed off Brian Cox from Succession.
Really?
Yeah, the dad in Succession.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't watch it. It's cool.
No, I do. Fantastic show.
He died on a plane. Spoiler alert. Shit's been out for 6 months.
Yeah, no, he died.
Since then, he is now in a McDonald's commercial.
Wait, but
in a carpet commercial?
But they didn't do any, like, I thought, so I'm actually only up to Succession where he died in the plane.
Okay.
I don't even know how much there is after that, but that was the last episode.
Skip to the last episode. The rest of it's just fucking lettuce.
Okay, because I thought when I saw the last episode of Succession, I just started watching it probably a month ago.
Yep.
And when he died on the plane, I was like, oh, okay, so the whole series is going to go back and, like, you know, prologue this whole thing. This is going to be like the inciting moment, but we're going to go back in time to their childhood. And Brian Cox is, of course, going to be a big part of this because he's everything to that show.
No, it's the final season. They killed him off and they had 4 more episodes for them to duke it out and see who's going to get the Empire. And then, of course, the last episode happens, and then the big turn at the end that we all saw coming in the first place, and it was like, oh, thanks for wasting 5 years of our lives.
That's dumb.
You should watch it for yourself.
I am.
Did you watch Succession, Nick, or are we just boring the fuck out of you?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
Wow. You ever seen Star Wars? You ever seen The Moon?
Some of them. I've seen some of the Star Wars.
You ever
Wars.
Seen The Moon? You ever seen grass before?
I found out 4 years ago that the moon sets and rises. I just thought it was always there, and then I saw it set over the ocean 4 years ago and was like, oh, wow, look at that. I never paid attention to the moon. It was just like, yeah, it's there, whatever.
But it's not on a daily basis. It is like...
What?
Well, it moves every day.
Well, right. But like, it doesn't set every day.
Orbits. Yeah. But sometimes you just don't see it.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because like the moon, unlike the sun, you can't tell where it's at just because there are some clouds. Like if there are clouds, you don't know where the moon's at.
Okay, take out the reality of all this, as real as it may be. If someone refers to a moonset and they're like, did you see the moonset today? Mm-hmm. I definitely do want to take their cell phone and shove it down their throat.
So that you can see the pictures of the moonset they took.
Well, I mean, I'll look at the pictures first. And I'll probably text them myself. They're probably really nice.
Listen, you're both wrong.
Go on.
Correct.
The earth is flat, right? Well, let's all accept that just for a second. And the way it spins like a record,
mm-hmm.
It just appears that the moon is setting. The moon is made of cheese and it stays still. The sun, also made of a different cheese. a more reflective cheese.
It's real hot cheese.
Yeah. So basically,
like a nacho cheese?
The earth is flat.
Pepper jack.
But it spins through space. So sometimes it's the dark side of the record and sometimes it's the light side of the record.
You know how?
Side B side.
It's the flat earth A side B side theoretical.
You know what's fascinating? How complicated it is to be stupid.
It's a tough life.
You know, it's so dramatically complicated because you don't have physics on your side.
No.
You don't have physics. No, you don't have science.
You
don't
religion, have research. You have faith in a thing. You have a hope.
It's like you got to create a whole new set. It's almost like you have to start from a blank slate and just be like, there's 1.2G of gravity. Who knew? Instead of one. Like you got to set a whole new set of rules so that your dumb shit actually makes sense.
Yeah, you have to make up your own physics.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's just explore A side, B side record theory for just a second.
No, sorry. Is this a flat earth theory?
I don't like A-side, to. B-side? I like to consider it more of like the record scratch theory, right?
So you like to consider it just the way the earth is actually shaped theory.
Listen, the only photograph of the earth.
Oh, God.
Is the side facing the sun.
Okay.
You can always see a flat circle. I mean,
that's not true. They've taken photographs of the dark side.
No, they've taken video of the dark side. They've never taken any still photographs. Wow. Because there's not enough light. Why isn't there enough light? Because it's on the B side.
Isaac, you know as well as anyone that it is much easier to take a low light photograph than it is a low light video.
That's not true.
It is true.
Nope.
It is true.
The
light gathering ability of one shutter click versus 24 shutter clicks per second.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the science of film.
Okay.
Something that I know you have to have some familiarity
with. One of us is a photographer.
Uh-huh. And
the other one of us is the guy who hires photographers. write a check, Daddy. Write a check. Where are you at on it, Nick? Are you A side, B side, or are you this round earth guy?
Yeah, I'm more of a round earth guy.
I'm kind of a shill for the round earth.
Round doesn't imply sphere. Records are round.
You're a dick.
Okay, yeah, exactly. First of all, fine. How about this?
Doesn't matter what they're shaped like, you're still a dick.
Let's switch sides. I'm going spherical earth. You guys defend record side, A side, B side.
All right.
Can you do it?
Prove it. Prove that it's round.
Everybody knows it's round.
Oh, the debate. Sounds like your argument's weak, man. I'd say we've already proven
the debate.
It's flat because obviously it's flat. We're standing on it's flat.
You can't prove
that it's round. We're the ones who are obviously standing.
Your
on
demeanor
flat
says a lot right now. You're kind of on your back foot, and it's kind of obvious that the world's flat.
Nobody likes it when people talk over each other. The debate is not whether or not it's round. The debate is whether or not it is spherical.
I'm sorry. Well, okay. Spherical implies that the dimensions are exact.
Globalicious.
That you would go from the exact center and in every direction it would be 12,000, 716 miles.
Don't math me, bro.
The radius everywhere would be equal. And that just isn't true.
Agreed.
Earth is more egg-shaped.
Mountains.
What if?
The sea.
Here's a what if.
Well, and it's more egg-shaped. It's not a sphere.
I mean,
it's
just
not a
like
perfect circle.
Water, stays...
That's beer.
Right, but like a liquid, like the ocean, obviously you can't have it be upside down.
You can't have the ocean made out of beer either.
Yeah, the water would just fall out, so it's obviously flat.
Okay, fair.
That's a good point.
But what about if the earth... What if we meet in the middle? What if it's not necessarily...
Of the earth?
Yes. And what if... It's not necessarily flat like a record, but what if it's also not globally spherical? What if when you take a picture of the Earth from the moon, the atmosphere refracts the light and makes it appear to
like
be...
Like it's bent.
Like, yes.
That's interesting.
What if it's really like Nick's oblong face?
Okay, can I share something with you?
Like an Australian rules football.
Rugby.
those are two distinctly different sports.
No, they're not.
Judges...
They're different.
Thank you.
Okay.
In your fucking face.
Here's the thing. I don't give a fuck.
The one thing I know about sports is that there's a difference between rugby and Australian rules football.
There's no one cares. I can just promise you that.
The 15 people that live in Australia care.
Yeah. Well, they're all convicts.
And all three of them play.
Okay. World so sports. Here's the deal. I really loved this. There was a guy, a photographer that I knew that I really respected, very smart guy.
Thank you.
And he one night when we were at a party,
of the Dark Side of the Moon.
He like 12 years ago.
Do you feel like Al's just talking and we're just chiming in sometimes?
Yeah, exactly. He presented to me the idea of Flat Earth. This was like 12 years ago.
And he was,
and
a
I was like, that's insane. And he was like, why is it insane? I was like, well, because we know that the Earth is round. He's like, have you done the calculations? Did you run from Athens to Marathon? Did you see the light go down the hole of that? That's how they figured out the Earth was spherical, by the way.
Didn't they fucking sail around it?
Well, sure. But that was like the first indication, was like the light shined directly above this well and then directly above this well 26 miles away. And they were like, how could that be? Well, it could only be because there's a curvature to the Earth. And then that kind of started Copernican theory and all these things. I might be wrong about some of that, but not most of it.
Next week's episode will have someone much dumber than Cyver sitting in that chair.
The interesting thing that he said to me was, have you done that run? Have you done the calculations? Have you done the science? And I was like, well, no. And he was like, this is the whole idea of flat earth theory, is unless you know the science, like you know the back of your hand, you should question everything. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting.
Okay, I'll take that.
The problem, I don't know. That's like the problem with that. There's a million problems with that. Like that's you're supposed to have faith that
this anyone who died from AIDS, so I'm going to freely get it.
Right, but he can't prove that it's flat either.
Of course. The interesting thing that he said was, it's not about the Earth being flat. It's about we don't know. And I was like, well, we ran into
a bunch of this shit with COVID too. Where it was like, hey, did you do your own research?
Right.
And that shit bothers me. Because if you look hard enough into the internet, you will find the answer that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Or this one, what is the incentive for anyone to lie, for groups of people who potentially know the science to lie about it being a round earth?
I mean,
what is the incentive to like,
I don't disagree.
Guys, like, let's all get together and make everyone believe it's a round earth. Well, like, what do they get out of that?
I mean, you know, you could probably make shit up. Like, well, if everyone agreed it was actually a disc, they would realize that our physics are very gentle, and like the smallest little quirk out in our atmosphere or out in the outer, in the depths of space, could throw us off axis and we'd all explode. And people just can't live with that truth. So we're going to tell them it's a sphere. They will understand a physics that's much more stable, and we won't fear them,
right,
but have the masses
of
in
all
fear.
All the conspiracy theories in the world, no one's ever gone, oh, hey, I know that they're all lying.
Look, I'm with you. I just think
there's a lot of people that have to be in on that. Every pilot has to be in on it. Those guys get paid like 50 grand.
I guess.
What? Pilots make way more than 50 grand.
No.
No.
No. Some do, but not all.
Your first year, you might make 50 as an assistant.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Dude, like Southwest first year pilot, if you're running regional routes, like you're going from fucking Albany to Schenectady or whatever the dick fuck, you're making like 30 grand.
Yeah. There are pilots who get to another city and then have to make sure that their hotel is booked because they can't afford it themselves.
Fact check. Anyway,
oh my God.
Now, the thing that
only am I in the middle of a conspiracy theory podcast that I don't want to be a part of.
Now you're scared to fly.
I'm scared to fly.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
here's the biggest problem with Southwest. And then I want to take it all the way back to something else.
Go on.
They don't have a lounge.
I mean, that is fucked
up. It's the biggest problem with Southwest.
They don't even have a side seat.
I will fly on a $30,000 pilot's dime all day long. I'll sit next to somebody I don't want to sit next to. But give me snacks.
In a room
where the poor people
that I'm
can't sit. Well, unlimited beer and snacks. Well, anyway,
you know what? You're really showing your lack of privilege, because there's a Centurion lounge in most of those places. So if you had ample Amex status, you'd be in that lounge. No. I have to pee. Let's return after I've come.
And let's pause.
Here's an idea that's totally based in math, right? The president has to be the average age of the citizenship.
Oh, interesting.
So if the average age is 46 of our entire country, we can only elect a 46-year-old.
Let's spin everybody back on what got us talking about this while we were outside taking a piss break.
We pissed outside.
We pissed outside.
To say nothing of when we choose to piss and how and where.
We started talking about politics. And the debate on the table right now is that, like, Should there be campaign donations? What should be the cap? Should there be an age cap? Should there, like, how do we as like the middle-aged-ish, the younger side of middle-aged, late 30s, early 40s.
We are all basically what they used to call middle-aged. But exactly. As the world's gotten older, we feel younger than middle-aged now.
Right. So how do we transition out of old money politics into a new system? And do we take this to the conversation of like big pharma really kind of runs everything?
Well, I mean, that's just something, that's a rabbit hole you don't want to get down because it's just an endless rabbit hole. So let's not go there.
Well, the short and simple, sweet and tiny, tidy little box you can put it in is big pharma is the one that's primarily contributing to the media outlets for advertising services. Mm-hmm. And then they're also primarily funding all the lobbyists. So like if we started regulating big pharma, does the entire media system collapse? Like, are we too deep in the money pit now to go back to?
No, okay. Definitely not.
I don't believe any capitalist venture can ever be too deep to cause a problem for the rest of us. The housing market collapsed and we all just kept moving.
Yeah, like, those are houses. That's one of the basic needs.
Yeah.
Good point.
But many people don't have them.
There's no such thing as a business, private entity business. Like, healthcare is not going to stop because the big pharmaceutical companies stop, right? The medicine will still, all the technology is still there. The science is all still there. The willingness, the demand is all still there. Just because some big company falls apart doesn't mean that all of that stuff won't still be available.
I'm not saying that the company should fall apart. I'm saying if we regulate the amount of money that they're allowed to dump into the political system.
I don't think anyone should be able to donate any money for politics other than, like, we should have a cap at, like, I'm not even kidding, like $100 per person. And no company should be able to donate, period.
I agree.
What is $100 times 365 million Americans?
3.6 billion. Right? No.
365 yeah. billion.
No.
It's nope. 36.5 billion.
Right. So the average cost of a political presidential campaign is what? $500 million?
Yeah.
Like, so if you don't have 500 sitting around, you shouldn't even try.
You can run 100 years of, no, more than that. You can run 400 years of political campaigns if every citizen.
I don't think the campaign should be able to buy commercials either. Like, we should watch them in debates. That's how we should be deciding that.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think, I don't disagree with the idea of the second part of that, but I do feel like if 100 million Americans give you $10 each, you've got $1 billion.
In that case, you're probably going to win because 100 million people believe in you enough to give you money.
Exactly. I agree.
You can win the popular vote within the 80, 85 million vote range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, to be able to enforce that, you would have to put regulations on all sorts of other industries, right? Like, even like, let's even take Bud Light. You know, there's compelling research around even like the Bush Gore election. They started, you know, like companies like Bud Light, maybe not them specifically in that particular election, but they have the ability to sway public opinion without saying vote Bush.
Right.
They'll just put an American flag on their box for the voting cycle. And then people will be like, oh, who's more patriotic? I'm patriotic. I buy all the stuff with the flags this season. And George W. Bush puts the flag on everything. So I'm going to vote for him instead of Gore. Right. And so there's all sorts of ways to subvert.
Or they could put Dylan Mulvaney on a can and go, oh, we know where they stand.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know that. I don't disagree. I think you have to take away the overt opportunity. I would totally get behind. No, you cannot accept money from a corporation, period.
Yeah.
As a political candidate. You just can't.
And like, there's all those super PACs or whatever.
Yeah.
Those shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. We know they shouldn't exist. We all basically agree that it shouldn't exist. The problem is, it's hard to, like, once everyone has a gun, it's hard to say, all right, let's put them all down.
You know? Yeah.
And that's what's happening with money in politics. It's like, it's hard to put it away because you don't want to be the first one that does it.
I mean, you know,
well, if you do, you're going to be the only one that does it and everybody else is going to be standing there pointing a gun at you.
And you'll lose.
Yeah. Well, that's why you need to have some big sweeping reform. You need to have some really strong motherfucker that says, hey, here's the deal. All the super PACs need to be dissolved by the end of this fiscal year. And all of that money is going to be taxed at 44%. And it needs to be disseminated back to the contributors or at no tax, or it gets to be disseminated this year, and then it's fucking over.
And that
is that legal to do?
For sure it is.
That exact sentiment is why so many people got behind Trump with the whole drain the swamp thing. It's like, yeah. I'm going to go in and change everything because I'm an outsider. Of course, he didn't do that. It just got worse.
Yeah.
You know, he doubled down on the like ridiculousness. But that was part of why he got elected, was so many people were watching this going, this isn't real anymore. Mm-hmm. We're watching some sort of cartoon of politics.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, our corporations, they're powerful. They're wealthy. They're powerful. They already have an outsized grip on culture, which has the ability to, you know, covertly push people in different directions. We at least just shouldn't let them overtly do it. It's like you can shoot a bullet in the air with the hopes that it's going to hit that guy over there. We have to accept that, I suppose, as an analogy. But you can't point the gun right fucking at him. We have to draw the line there. And that's what super PACs do. And that's what donations, corporate donations to political figures do. Is it just like, yeah, you can just shoot him right in the face. We'll look the other way.
Right. But I think there's an inherent level of things that like every American can agree on. And yet, I think they put things in our face to divide us so that we don't start agreeing
absolutely
on things.
Absolutely.
We have the top five conversations every single political cycle. And there's a division of single issue voters that are like, I don't care about this other four things that are going to cost me money. This one thing that I believe, I can't let that happen.
A moderate citizenry will get you reasonable politics. And that is not what people want.
I have that they tattooed on my lower back.
You don't get that's what kind of slut I am. Mm-hmm.
It's tattooed right over my butterfly.
I take that back. Just because the placement of your tattoo has nothing to do with your willingness to do or not.
Don't wake up on me now, Cyrus.
Stay asleep.
Stay woke. Wait, no. Whatever. You know what I mean.
Yeah, no, you mean what I said. But yeah. Yeah, I think it's a very complicated thing, but it also could be pretty fucking simple if someone with just a backbone came in and said, this isn't right. Everyone would say, yeah, I agree. This is fucked.
Do you know what I think is the most egregious thing crossover from a satirical political movie into popular culture is? I think we've talked about this before, Nick. In the movie Idiocracy.
Don't even. Okay, fine.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah. President Hector Mountain Dew Camacho.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were in pre-production for Idiocracy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
This is the Crocs story.
Yeah.
They wanted a shoe that was so ridiculous they didn't think anyone was going to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And Crocs was just invented, and Crocs donated like 500 or 600 or 1,000 pairs of Crocs. Everyone in Idiocracy wears Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
And now we all wear Crocs.
Mike Judge was the director of that movie. He was like, oh, that'll never become popular. It's ridiculous.
I mean, he didn't put them on. They're pretty comfortable with socks.
Crocs with socks.
I mean, it's gross.
What if that was the name of this podcast?
You know what? Okay, let's stick on the Crocs thing for a second. I think, you know, we go through these, bell curves as humanity, especially when it comes to things like fashion, right? It's like we fade in, we fade out. And I think Crocs are a very interesting like tipping point in that bell curve. You could argue whether it's at the bottom or the top, where they're hideous. They're just objectively hideous, right? But it's like it's sort of a it's a denial of fashion. You know, socks with sandals is a joke. Socks with Crocs has become a thing that is of fashion because you are confident enough to wear something that is objectively hideous and is only for comfort. And it's like sweatpants. It's like, you know, in maybe the 90s, like late 90s, when people were wearing like sweatpants and hoodies and shit to school, or like and one shorts, it was like, I'm cool enough that I don't have to care about fashion. And Crocs is just one of those things that seeps into the zeitgeist.
Counterculture.
Yeah. Uggs were a thing like that, you know, in like the early aughts. Uggs came out and it was like they're literally named for how ugly they are, and people were like, but they're comfortable as fuck, no denying that. And yeah, so it was like counter fashion.
So it's form over function over form.
I would even take out my whole argument of comfort, and I would just say it is a statement of counter fashion,
much like your hat.
I mean, like, think about the conversations that people have, you know, like Gen Z, for it, just to, you know, make a point, would say, like, if you post a bunch of pictures on Instagram of you, a bunch of selfies of you, you're fucking trying hard. It's fucking gross. It's fucking lame. And as soon as that sentiment started to become a more popular sentiment, even if it was maybe sort of fringy, the approach to fashion of you're trying too fucking hard, socks with Crocs, no selfies on my Instagram, it's part of the same movement.
Yeah. Once you realize that other people are thinking a certain way, it's hard to then be like, no, you're wrong. Remember? Like, remember when we agreed you were wrong? Like, oh, you're right now? Damn it.
Yeah. And it will come back around. It'll find its way back around. People get, you know, sexual attraction and all these, you know, they come in and out of vogue and all that, you know, all that kind of, it will come back around. People, socks and Crocs will be uncool in 2 to 12 years.
This is, brings up an interesting point, because as someone who is attempting to gain influence in the social media realm,
it is what it is,
but I need to build an audience, right? Yeah. This is what I want to do for a living. I want to entertain people by talking to other people.
Sure.
And then performing live. But some of that is chasing trends. Like, what's everybody doing on social media right now? They're all doing this fucking challenge. I'll do the challenge, jump on the train. Maybe I'll get some eyeballs. Maybe I'll get some attention. But the,
like, maybe you'll hate yourself for trying so hard.
Definitely will. I mean, I've been called a try hard more than fucking I've been called good at anything. But I would rather be a try hard than a never tried.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the whole idea of like calling people out for trying hard is, it's so moronic, frankly.
You're just pointing the finger at yourself. You're just going, I'm not trying to do anything.
It will have, it has its like short day in the sun. It's like it's the February 28th of trends. It will be the shortest day of the year, or the shortest month of the year.
The first time I heard that, it was from the singer of a band who was, we were in the middle of like a weekend working with them. And it was like, you've spent all weekend working, trying to make this work for your band. Like, we're literally doing something right now. And I remember him using the term, like, he called somebody a tryhard. And I was like, that's weird. It took me a minute. And I was like, I guess he's just kind of calling him a douche. But, you know, like our generation would have said, right? But it was just like, oh man, that's such an awkward one to like break down.
Yeah, but you didn't even know the moon set till like 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, it was around the same time. that
I heard was the moon hard. Trying too hard to set,
the
bro?
Moon, the moon was trying so hard, it set right over the Santa Monica Pier. Like, I stood
so
at the
lame.
Pier and watched the moon set.
You know, these are two very funny things that have like become a thing in the last couple of years. It's like we're trying so hard for things to mean nothing, and we're also trying to find things that have meaning. It's like a moon set didn't exist 10 years ago. Right. And it's like worse. I mean, like,
don't
you wouldn't
go right. Like, of course, it's you existed the you, whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no one gave a fuck about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, people didn't have the time to give a fuck about the sunset, let alone even know that the moon set's a thing. But it's like, it's very interesting. You can see, you know, these shifts in culture. People are like, try what? And then they're like, have you heard of a moon set? It's like you get called out for trying too hard to do something or be something or make something or whatever it might be. But then you have all this acceptance of like, let's give a fuck about the moonset. Yeah, now.
I think culturally we're right now in a spot that's very similar to the early 90s where it wasn't cool to try, right?
Like, amen. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Like, if you break down what the people who listened to Nirvana in 1992, right? They probably, if they were around today, would have used the term try hard. They probably had something very similar that I'm not aware of, right?
Yep.
So it was 10 or whatever.
Poser.
Like, poser or
sell,
lame. Or
sellout became sellout. A thing around that time because all of a sudden it was like, oh, you're trying so hard, you're a sellout.
Yep.
Right? Like, oh, you made money doing that? Loser. Like, mm-hmm. But like, and then it shifted very much the other way.
Yep.
And now we're kind of back to that. And like, I think culturally we're in a very similar spot. I think people are like generally disenchanted with the outside world, the like political world, the country, the, you know, all of that. So like kids, Gen Z people, like young teenagers, 20s, that kind of thing. Like, think they're burnt on a lot of the outside world and they grew up on social media.
I think there's an interesting tipping point though, that when a tryhard gains a little bit of notoriety or success, then everybody gets on board with it. So like the level of like trying hard that it takes to build a fan base and become successful, the art is in making it look effortless.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but I think what I'm getting at with the social media thing is like, these are kids who grew up with influencer as a thing, right? Like 10 years ago when we all got Instagram, or gosh, it was longer than that.
Still
like
don't have it.
13 years ago, whatever. Like that, as that played out, someone who's 20 now was 7 years old when Instagram came out. So they grew up watching people go like, what are you doing? Like it's like a kid going, like a 13-year-old looking at some like Instagram model, like this is ridiculous. Yeah,
it's like the way that you would look at Britney Spears when you were 20, when she came out at 12, and you were like, she's fucking amazing. And then you looked back 8 years later and you're like, ah, you were kind of being objectified and you kind of just were like riding this weird wave of whatever, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
and
it's
now,
interesting.
And now we look at Britney Spears and go, that was sad, like how that played out, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that was mostly her doing though.
I mean, she was around our age. Like,
yeah.
None of us would have chosen that for anyone we know now.
That's true.
Looking back at it. But at the time, it's like, wow, she's one of the most popular people in the world. Like,
you know, we'll move off of this. But I think it is really valuable to look at the 90s and look at now and make comparisons. I think it's also really valuable to look at the war in Iraq and look at, you know, probably Vietnam and look at like what happened after that. We were kind of on like a more elongated timeline than they were in Vietnam, and it was just kind of clearer. It was a just way more fucked up situation, and not that Iraq wasn't, but Vietnam was just a clearly fucked up situation. Then there was a revolt against that and against the government and against materialism, and then everyone hung out with their guru for 3 weekends, and by the third weekend they're like, oh, this guy just wants to fuck everyone. And the first weekend they were like, God, he's just so in touch with himself and like he doesn't care about money and things. And then the second week they're like, God, he's really fucking everyone, right? But I mean, he still makes some good points and he just feels so pure. And then by the third week he's like, he stopped saying things that mean anything. I could just hear him saying to the new people that show up the same thing he said to me to intoxicate me, and now he's just fucking them. And it's like, at some point the jig is up. You know, idealism is, there's a reason it's called idealism, because it's an ideal. And life is not.
Do you think that we are in for another like roaring 30s? Like, you think that the 20s, the 2020s is like the 1920s? It's, you know, hard times.
100%. What happened in the 70s after the 60s? After everyone was like smoking weed and fucking each other, then everyone was like, they rode 70s on a wave of cocaine, and then they landed in 1980 with a Ferrari and Gordon Gekko as their heroes.
Right.
I mean,
and
that
conservatism was massive, right? Like, it was cool to be conservative and religious in the 80s.
Also in the mid-aughts to the mid-teens.
Yeah. I mean, we went from Kurt Cobain being a hero to Paris Hilton being a hero.
Exactly.
In like a 10-year period.
And we will find that. We will have...
So you think we're in for another phase of conservatism?
A hundred mil passage.
What do you think the split was in the 80s? Was it just more heavily publicized because mega churches could afford the airtime and there wasn't social media, so there was a bigger presence of being able to consume media that was religious based in the 80s, which caused... But do you think it was like a 52-48 kind of situation, but it was just more publicized? Because the country's never been like a vastly swayed to like 70-30 one side or the other.
Oh no!
It's always been pretty like 51-49.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Based on where you live.
I mean, again, that goes back to something you said in an earlier conversation of we agree on far more than we disagree on.
Right.
I mean but the conversation just isn't interesting. You know?
No, it doesn't sell tickets
until you get to the fringes. Until you get to the edge. The crazy thing, though, and everyone kind of has come around to the realizing this, is that this is the moderate point where fucking 90% of the public live. And then around the ring is like, you know, 2% of the questioning public. And then at the very end of that, there's the same 3% of people that insanely, because it's not a line, it is not a spectrum, it is a circle. And at this end, there's that insane 1% from both sides that basically believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That want to ban books, but just different books.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They want to ban speech, but just different speech.
Right.
They want to, you know, bring down authoritarian requirements, but just different ones.
And they probably don't even believe that the earth is round.
Okay, full circle.
Flat. I should have said flat. Fuck, it would have been way funnier if I said flat.
Well, it can still be round and flat. You made that point earlier. You sick fuck.
Round things can be flat.
You two-dimensional bitch. You fucking two-dimensional shill.
I'll take that as a compliment. That's one more dimension than I normally get credit for.
Yeah. Yesterday, there was going to be a discussion on Wednesday, 2 days from yesterday now.
About tomorrow.
And they are going to release some kind of information. Maybe it's even just a modus operandi, a mode of operating.
Thank you.
For how they... I didn't know. I wasn't sure if you knew Latin or not.
Fuck you, dude.
They're going to share a way of
a
doing things.
A microphonus recordus. What are we doing?
A dicus cuntus.
We already familiaris. Talked about this.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Roll the tape.
We didn't talk. We didn't.
It's McDonald's?
The thing that I want to talk about around this is, do you think that people deserve the truth or do you think they deserve safety?
I would counter with, what they're debating is whether or not we can yet handle the truth.
Yeah, but that's
roll it where he says, you can't handle the truth.
But when, you know, you do this with your kids, and not your kids because you don't have children, you're just not... you know,
don't do that
there yet, I suppose.
That's the kind way of saying it.
The interesting thing around that to me is just thinking about, you know, there are trade-offs in life and everyone knowing everything is maybe not always the right answer.
I agree.
Like, here's an easy one. How would your life change if I could tell you the day, time, and how you'll die?
Oh, it would change everything.
Oh, man. It would change literally everything.
So
I would know when to get to Vegas and how many days I have to gamble and do cocaine.
So it would be positive in some way, at least for that last week.
I would save up enough to know that I had a week to do like crazy shit in a $10,000 night hotel.
And then you would just like buck the universe and you would die on the way to doing one of those dumb things.
I think. Did you guys hear about the guy who found out he was going to die? And so he was going to commit suicide. And instead, he just drove to Mexico and like had sex with hookers for like a month straight and did a bunch of cocaine and decided he wanted to live and came back and like was like, oh, sorry, I spent all my money, but I want to live now.
I did hear about that guy.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. I think people that run out of options just aren't aware of all the options, yeah. You know, right?
Yeah.
It's right?
True.
You know?
Yeah. No, I've been recently kicking around the idea of having like a death day. Like I want to choose when I die. But the interesting conversation about someone telling you when you're going to die, if they told you the day you were going to die, would you then make choices that you would have died on that day anyway? Like, would you then take riskier behavior as you get closer and closer to that day? Then all of a sudden you're like, I'm jumping out of a plane for the first time on my last day on Earth. And then your parachute doesn't open.
You know,
well, that's kind of weird.
This is the Back to the Future complex, right? Because if you go back in time, you can't tell someone what's going to happen because then that will change the future. If you tell them what's going to happen, it will no longer happen.
You say that like someone who's been back to the future. We don't know that because no one's ever done it.
Oh, we know it. Well, it was in a movie in the 80s.
Believe you have free will? Do you believe you could jump off this building today? It could be your last day or it could be the first day of the rest of your life. Do you believe that you have the agency to choose which one of those routes occurs?
I do, but I also think I have the intelligence to not jump off the building.
No, I'm just saying, do you believe that your life is completely pre-planned and you just think you're making choices, but you in fact are actually not making any choices? It is going to be what it's going to be.
You know, it's interesting because I grew up in a faith-based environment that says, you know, like life is predestined, God has a plan for your life, like every step has already been accounted for.
Right.
And then I have done some crazy weird actions that have also put me into different places where I think I should have been. Like walking away from what I thought was the plan put me back on what seemed to be the right path.
That was part of the plan. That's part of the majesty of my plan.
Right. So like there is no good argument against that because everywhere you go, there you are.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Well, the good argument against that would be the horrible things he chooses to let happen in that case.
Who's he?
God. If everything's pre-planned and there's somebody pulling the strings to everything, then he planned like concentration camps.
Yeah. It was part of his big plan. He was like, these fuckers don't know suffering.
He kills children with cancer. Like,
Yeah.
That's the argument against pre-planned everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, all the people that are pissed off about Bud Light, like, God did that. That's, well, I mean, just, that's God's work.
You could blame God for everything.
It's fucking God's work.
It works in mysterious ways.
It's fucking God's work. God wanted that shit to happen.
It's the interesting thing to me is that if you go back to, like, the religious right in America today, they take credit for everything they prayed for. And then anything that hasn't gone their way, they're like, well, we're still praying for that.
Well, of course. But it is part of God's plan. And he's looking out for us.
Well, do you think God has a plan?
No. I think people have... I think, you know... No. Fucking not. What?
What?
A plan?
Call me a moron.
What do you think? He's got 7.8 billion plans just playing out right now? No, he doesn't have a plan. He is not a thing. She is not a thing. There ain't no fucking entity, single entity.
But what just
ain't,
if...
Just ain't what it is, bruh.
What if God was one of us?
You mean...
Thank you.
Like he was a slob?
No, he was Joan Osborne specifically.
What if he was a stranger on a bus? What if you got on a bus and just inquired with every single stranger and just wanted to check and see if they're a God?
Are you God?
What if someone who claimed to be the Messiah, that we wrote off as being crazy, was just actually the Messiah?
That's part of the plan, bro.
That is part of the story, is that he'll come back as like a peasant and...
Yeah, right. You will not know me, and so you treat everyone as if they're God. I mean, that's, you know, that's the whole story that they wrote when people were like, you know, butt fucking sheep and you know, drinking all day. I mean, that was the reason that that this book was written, was because they did not want people at the, or any religious text, they don't want people at the whim of cultural, of, you know, swinging every 6 to 12 years with the movements of culture. People are the same. You know, like when you listen to recordings from the early 1900s, people bullshit the way that we bullshit today. They use a different vernacular, but people are the fucking same. People were the same 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, when it was hard to get caught stealing or caught butt fucking a sheep, people were doing it. And they were like, how the fuck do we get people to stop butt fucking sheep? We can't. If we elect people to keep people from stop butt fucking the sheep, those people will be sheep butt fuckers. We just know that they will be. Every time I put someone there to guard the sheep, they end up fucking the sheep. And the only thing they could do...
You would clip so much better if you made your points just a little shorter.
The only thing they could do was
a great clip about butt fucking sheep. Give you 4 minutes long.
They have to give you something to be afraid of. They have to give that is omniscient and omnipotent. The fucking...
So there's a they, Caesar. But there's not a God.
Caesar.
Okay, render it out, bud.
Yeah. Well, I did.
Okay, so how about this?
It's highly
shifting
Caesarian.
For just a second.
Yeah, go on.
If... Let's take it all back and let's not take it all back. Listen, Sassy Pain. If you're just listening on audio, I was waving my hand like a Bud Light drinker. So... this makes me think, growing up religious and then now having this conversation and then always being able to like put my mind to something and achieve it, that makes me feel like more and more and more that we're just in a simulation.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I give more credence to a simulation than I would something being planned out by some higher power. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's very improbable.
I give my credence to Clearwater. There's going to be a revival.
And if there is, you'll be glad you gave him your credence.
You just don't lead him so far.
Oh, God, that's the worst. That's the worst. How do you do it? How do I do what?
Yeah.
The women and the children. You just don't lead them so far.
I'm just going to put the clip in instead of having to suffer through watching you ever do that again.
God, that's such a, that's a, one of the most fucked up things to ever be shot before 1980.
I don't think so. Clockwork Orange came out before then.
No, that's not that fucked up.
And it came out in the 90s.
Clockwork Orange doesn't even touch Full Metal Jacket in terms of being fucked up. Doesn't even touch it.
This was the trial run of Are You Serious? Featuring Alex Ivers and Nick Pyatt. I am one of your hosts, Isaac Abrams. Hope we don't get canceled for this. We're going to do this summerly regularly, and we're going to keep doing it until it is either not fun anymore or they arrest us.
I mean, definitely send this to me before you make it live.
Now, I'll send you a private link, and then you have to watch it Wednesday night because it's going live Thursday.
Done deal. We'll do.
All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.